Thank you, Brother Sexton. It's good to be here. We always enjoy getting to come to Ridgeview Baptist Church. Church, I appreciate your pastor and his dear wife. It's sure been a blessing to us over the years since we've been coming here. We thank God for him. One thing I know, he does all things well. Does all things right. And his salvation, he always does right. One time does it. I feel for these people that think they can lose it.
Yes, sir.
There's been times in my life when I didn't really know if I saved or not. But after I got to reading the Bible, and it tells me, gives me eternal life, ain't no way you can get out of it.
That's right.
I say, praise the Lord.
Yeah,
and then even, when we sin, as Brother Phil was preaching a while ago, he does all things right. When he forgives us, we're forgiven.
Right.
Devil might bring it up, but we're forgiven.
Amen.
And so when we get to heaven, we get there, get a new body, we'll know that he does all things right. He does all things well. Won't you turn your Bible tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. Seemed like I had another thought on my heart, but this seemed like it's where the Lord would have us to be for a few minutes tonight. Revelation chapter number 3. Seems like the Lord has given me quite a few messages out of the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. I was in a watch night service back the last of the year down in Chester, South Carolina, and I was the last one to preach, and we stopped preaching about, 5-10 minutes till 12, praying the old year out and the new year in. And I got down to praying. I was asking God if he would help me this year to be a help to people, to be a help to God's people. And it seemed like he's been doing that so far this year. God's people needs help. Sinner needs help. God's people needs help. God's people needs encouragement. And so thank you, Brother Sexton, for having the meeting. Thank you for letting us come. Be your book of Revelation, chapter number 3. If you found your place and you feel like standing, want to stand, what time I read this passage of Scripture, you can. If you don't feel like it, I understand that. You can stay seated. But let you rest just for a minute. Verse number 14, chapter number 3 of the book of Revelation. The Bible said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You can be seated. May God add his blessings to the reading of his precious word tonight. I want to use for a little thought, if God would help me, the last part of verse number 18, where he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. I want to preach tonight, God help me on, Lord, open our eyes that we may see. I believe we're living in a time where it seemed like, Brother Seton, where the devil has got God's children's eyes blinded to the fact of real reality. You read the Bible, and I think this is where we're at. We're in the Laodicea time. I believe in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4, verse 1, 2, there, where the church is raptured out. And I think we're right on the brink. We're right on the edge of we're going out. And so, but until that time comes, I believe we ought to be about our Father's business. And so I begin to read this passage of Scripture. I think the Lord is trying to help them. God always tries to help His people. Just as He preached, He's trying to help His man there that He called a man after God's own heart. And so He's trying to help these people here. And I think in our modern day time, in our modern day church age that we're living in today, God's trying to help us. And I believe He's given us space to grace to take and maybe pledge along for the glory of God. But I think we're living in a day where people has got the same attitude that these people here had in the church of the Laodicea. Most people's got the attitude that they don't mean nothing. Now, I've traveled up and down these roads. Some have been preaching longer than I have. But I've been in evangelism now going on 28 years. And it seems like when you watch people coming into church, they sit down. They have a countenance on their face. I'm here, but I don't mean nothing. But yet, the Lord's telling these people here what they have need of. What David done, he lost his focus on what the Lord wanted him to do. What the people done here, they lost focus on God, of what the Lord had for them to take and do. And so we find the people here that's saying that we're rich and increased with goods and we have need of nothing. God help us, we're a needy people, and we sure do need God's help. I tell you, we sure do. If God don't help us, ain't nobody else can. But I tell you, God is willing to take and help His people if we'll take and let Him. So these people here, I think we're in big trouble, but He's still trying to help thee, oh man. As you read there, He said, anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. He was trying to get them to see the condition that they was really in, but they could not see it because he let the material things of life blind their eyes to the real fact of the spiritual condition that they was in. And so I begin to look here about some things. So here's my question tonight. Why was the Lord trying to get them to open their eyes to see? Now we see, if we don't, we got a problem with our eyesight. Brother Allen, we can take and go to eye doctor, whatever that word is, they call them, and they can set us down in a few minutes, they'll click them things, and I'll tell you, they can put us to where we can see, if it's possible, seeing. But I'll tell you, our spiritual sight that God has granted to us, we ought to be seeing things that the people out there in the world can't see. We ought to be seeing that we're almost home. We ought to be shouting up and up and down. I tell you that we're almost home. Thank God we're almost home. And most people can't see that. And so as I begin to look here, I thought, why was the Lord trying to get these people to put some eyesight, spiritual eyesight, in their eyes that they might be able to take and see? And so I looked there in verse number 19. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And so he was trying to see that they need to repent. I give them their day, and yet they couldn't see that. And so with that in mind tonight, I want to give you three or four things that I feel like that God's placed upon my heart. Why the Lord was trying to get these people to be able to take and see the spiritual things that the Lord wanted them to take and see. And so the first thing tonight that I see, Brother Sexton, I think the Lord was trying to get them to see how big that He was. I want to tell you, God is still a big God. We're living in a day where it seems like modern society has played down God, that God ain't as big. I'll tell you, but let me tell you tonight, God is big as He's always been. I'll tell you, He ain't lost any power. He ain't been dethroned. I'm telling you tonight, God is such a big God that nothing is impossible with Him. We've got sinners out there today. I think they're too big of a sinner. not for God to take and save. I won't tell you how God said out there in the book of Luke chapter 19 verse number 10, did he come to seek and to save that which was lost? Paul said he was the chiefest among sinners and God saved him. I cannot tell you tonight, God is a big God and God can save. I'll tell you to the uttermost. But what I will look at tonight, listen, what he was trying to get them to see, I'll tell you how big that God was. God, watch this, Brother Chad, God is a big enough God to whatever wrong that they were in, he's big enough to take and make it right. I don't care how far deep we get in sin. I mean, after we're saved by the grace of God, God is a big enough God. When Jesus the Lamb hung on the cross, praise God, listen, there's enough blood there to still cleanse us up and forgive us if we'll confess. I'll tell you our sin. And so he's trying to get them to see, I'll tell you how big that it really is. Our God's a big God tonight, friend. Let me tell you, he's a big God. I'll tell you, back in 1963, the wretch way down and picked me up out of the merit class in and set my feet upon a solid rock. I thank God established my goings, put a song in my mouth. Brought me all this way over 55 years. I said, praise his name. He's a big God. He's a big God. And so let me tell you how big he is tonight. He's so big that you can't go over him. A lot of people's trying to go over him, but he's so big that you can't go over him. He's so big that you can't go around him. There's a lot of people trying to go around him, but he's so big that you can't go around him. He's so big that you can't go under him. I said, praise his name tonight. He's so big that you got to come to him. I said, praise God. I'm glad those that will see the need are coming to him, then he, I tell you, will take care of whatever's wrong in your life. I say, thank God that we serve a big, big God. These people out there, I'll tell you, in the world, they can't understand how that Jesus come and was born of a virgin. That's how big God is. They can't understand how he made the lame, I tell you, to take and walk, and the blind to see, I tell you, the dumb how to take and speak, I tell you, the hungry have been fed, the dead been raised. They can't see that he's that big a God, but he's a big God.
Amen.
So big, and I'll tell you, these that's trying to go around him and trying to go under him and trying to go, I'll tell you, over him, they can't get it done like that. He's too big of a God. You know what our problem is? Same like these people, I'll tell you, they thought they could take and do a lot on their own, but tell you, when they come down to it, you can't do nothing without God. Your pastor, I said at the beginning of the service, you can't do nothing without God. Like he said, without me, you can do nothing. But I'll tell you, with him and by him and through him, you can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you. I say, praise God for a big God.
Amen.
He was trying to get them to see, I'll tell you how big that he really is. He is a big God. Listen, we get down, and most of the time we spend our praying, I'll tell you, trying to tell God how big our problems is. And I don't belittle that. I thank God sometimes we got some big problems. But I feel like mine's bigger than anybody else's. But a lot of times we spend time, I'll tell you, on our knees, and spend time, I'll tell you, in our praying, listen, telling God how big our problems is. But if we could see how big he is, we would spend that time telling our problems how big God is. I said, praise God. He's big enough to take care of every problem that we've got. It wouldn't strain him a bit to take care of everybody's problem. I'm not sure. That's how big that God is tonight. A lot of times, I tell you, we feel sorry for ourselves. And I'll tell you, we get down and pray. And we tell God how deep the valley is that we're walking through. I tell you, He already knows it. But praise God. Brother Rick Grissom, He's able. I said, He's big enough. I tell you, to take us through that valley and bring us through it. I tell you, shouting, coming out on the other side with our hands towards glory and praising Him and shouting and thanking Him, I'll tell you, for what He's done for us. Sometimes we spend our time telling God, I'll tell you how big and how hard it is, the mountain that we're climbing, but thank God He's big enough to help us up it, and praise God, shouting, going down the other side. I cannot tell you how tonight we serve our big God. So I think what He was trying to get these people how to take and see and put some eyesight in their eyes, and that they may see how big our God really is. How big's your God tonight? Sometimes we talk like, and sometimes we testify like that God is not too big of a God. But I'll tell you, God is a big God, and He can take care of, I'll tell you, their problems. He can take care of our problems. He can take care of their sin. He can take care of our sin. I said, thank God. I'll tell you what we need. We need to open our eyes spiritually, I'll tell you, and see how big that God really is. He's a big God. I say, praise the Lord. Yes. Let me show the second thing right real quick. Not only He's trying to get them to see how big that He is, but watch this. He's trying to get them to take and see, Brother Chad, how bad their condition is. We're living in a day where it seems like how people can take and live any way they want to live. I'll tell you, do anything they want to do. Go anywhere they want to go. Drink anything that they want to drink. And they think that's not too bad. But I'm telling you tonight, upon the authority of God's word, God was telling these people the condition they were in, gets bad. Can I tell you, sin is bad. Again, 2018, I don't know how it is down here in this neck of the woods, but I'll tell you, up around home, they'll take and do anything that they want to do through the week. I don't care what it is. I don't care how sinful it is. They'll drink, go to bingo parlor. I'll tell you, on the days for Friday night, Saturday night, and then come to church. And if they think they come to church, I'll let you know their badness. I'll tell you, it's forgiven because they come to church. But I'm telling you, sin is still bad back in the day that we live. And so He's trying to get them to see, I'll tell you, how bad their condition is. We're living in a day where it seems like, I'll tell you, people think that their condition is not too bad. If God says it's bad, it's bad. Amen. And so I look here, in these passages of Scripture, in these verses, this is what God said. He said, you're neither cold nor hot. Ain't that about where we're at today? I'm neither cold nor hot. He said this. He said, I know your works. I'm going to tell you, God's so big. He's all-knowing God. He knows everything, and nothing is hid from God. He said, I know your works. And He said, you're lukewarm. Then He said this. He said, you're proud and self-centered. I want to tell you, it seems like the devil using, I'll tell you, that pride and people being proud. You can't get anything from God like that. A sinner, I cannot get saved with an attitude like that. But I'm telling you, when you'll come humbly to God, God, I will take care of the need. And so He said this. He said, you're ignorant of your true state. They were saying this. This is what they said. They said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Don't take me wrong tonight. Listen, I thank God for what He's given me. I tell you, He's took care of us all these years. He's blessed us more, I tell you, than we deserve. But Brother Rains, I believe prosperity, listen, has drawn people's mind, I tell you, away from God. To the fact is, they think they've done it themselves. Listen, tonight, there's nothing wrong with having things. But when things has us, That's when it becomes wrong. And so what we've done, we've come so far. I tell you, we think we've got the ability to do it ourselves. And now when we come into church, we've got an attitude like, listen, we're rich and increased with goods, and we don't have need of nothing. We don't have need of what God has. But this is what the Lord said in verse number 17. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not. He said this, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is a condition like in their life that God could see, and he began to point it out, and they couldn't see. I tell you, the condition that they were really in. God help us how to see if we got unconfessed sins in our life. I will tell you, we're in a bad condition like in the eyes of God. We might cover it up to everybody else, but I will tell you, Brother Harvey, we don't cover it up in the eyes of God. God's got an all-seeing eye, and I'll tell you, he can see everything. And if he says you're wretched and poor and miserable and naked, then we are. Then we are. I remember back in the 70s when me and my wife got back in church down in the city limits of Somerset, Kentucky, in a little old country church. There were some black folks that come to church. Like every now and then, and I tell you, that black lady would get up and sing, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. And I'll tell you, it just like God used that, and her little old beady eyes just looked at me and just pierced, I tell you, my soul. And when she would say, there's an all-seeing eye watching you, she'd say, I thought, Lord, there ain't nothing hid from me. I won't tell you tonight, there ain't nothing hid from God. I'll tell you, he sees it all. And I'll tell you, if our condition's bad, I'll tell you, he can see it, it's bad. But thank God he's got something. I'll tell you, he could take and help us. We'll take. And so they couldn't see how big God was, and they couldn't see how bad their condition was. That's about where we're at today, ain't it? You ever talk to anybody today? You ever try to talk to your family? Ain't nothing wrong with them. They ain't a thing wrong with them. I tell you, here some time ago I talked to a fella that was alcoholic, and you know what he said? He said, there ain't nothing wrong with me. I said, sure enough. He said, there ain't nothing wrong with me. And this is what he said, preacher. He said, you drank a Coke or a Pepsi out of the can? I said, every now and then. He said, when I get thirsty, he said, well, if I open a pop a top, I'll tell you I'm one, and I'll drink it. He said, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I cannot tell you, that's where we're at today. There ain't nothing wrong with nothing anymore. But if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God said, you got a covenant there, and it says abstain from all alcoholic beverages, from the sale of the use of, I said, if God says it's wrong, I get wrong. If God says it's bad, I praise God it's bad. And so God help us that we might see what thus saith the Lord. Then, let me say this. I thought about this. He was trying to get them to see how big that God was. He's trying to get them to see how I tell you how bad the condition is, and then he's trying to get them to see that they're balking, I tell you, at the things of God. I know you don't hear that word much anymore. I tell you, but back years ago, I used to hear it when the ball players play. I tell you, that ump would say, you balked, and that fellow would take and go out of first base. But I was reading some articles the other day. I tell you, it might have been yesterday, before yesterday, and there's an article like this. I tell you, I don't know who wrote it. But they said that the Democrats is balking, I'll tell you, about Kavanaugh's vote or whatever. And I thought, there's that word again. I hadn't heard it in years. But I got the dictionary down, looked it up. I'll tell you, this is what the dictionary said. It said this. It said to resist. I tell you, we've got a lot of resistance in our churches today. Watch this. The Bible said, God resisteth the proud, Oh, God resisteth the proud, but give grace, I tell it to the humble. It said resist. Then it said refuse. One definition said stalling. One definition said shunning. One definition said invading. You say, a preacher, how do you know that? Look in the Bible, what the Bible says. Watch this. The Bible said, if any man will hear my voice, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I vain of hearing. He didn't say hear the knock. He said, if you'll take and hear my voice, I said, hey, they're not hearing. It seems like when folks come to church, and I know I'm not trying to be negative, but it seems like a lot of folks has got some spiritual earplugs, and when they come in, I said, Brother Harvey, looks like they just put them in, and you can see them reach up there and get them when they go out to get in their vehicle. But I'll tell you, the Bible said they're not hearing. Watch this. They're not obeying. He said, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, and the responsibility is upon us. God wants us how to take and open the door. They must not be very hungry. I tell you, watch this. He said, if you'll open that door, he said, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. The Bible said, Brother Steve, the Bible said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I'm telling you, they're not doing what he said. They're balking. At the commands of God. God help us. I thought, my soul, like in the days that we live, I know there's a lot of junk going on out there, but I'll tell you, I believe we got some of the best preaching. Listen, the days, I'm telling you, we've got some great preachers. I'll tell you, the word of God is going out, and so he's trying to get them to see. And so as I begin to take and look there, let me give you this, and I'll be done. As I begin to look on there, he's trying to get them to see. He's trying to get them to open their eyes and see. I'll tell you how big God is. I'll tell you how bad their condition is. He's trying to get them to see that they're balking, how they're resisting, how they're taking and refusing, how they're stalling on what God wants them to take and do, and that that leads to this. They can't see that they're barren. I tell you, the Lord, I look that word barren up, it means unfruitful, unproductive. It means ineffective. It also means stale. They can't see that they're grown stale. I tell you, God, God help us tonight. We don't have to go that route. Thank God, I don't like to be stale. I don't like stale services. Listen, I don't like stale singing. I don't like stale bread. I thank God, hallelujah. I'm telling you, don't have to be that way. God fixed it fair. It can be different. Most people can't see the difference. Remember when Samson picked up a jawbone of a mule to slay that thousand? Remember when he took the gates of the city and took care upon a hill? Remember when he laid his hand in Delilah's lap after a few things and he cut the locks off his head? The power wasn't in his locks, but I tell you, it's in the disobedience. And when she shook him by the chad, He said, I'll get up and go. I tell you, how before, and he wist not that the power had departed from him. We're living in a day where it used to be how people could tell, but now not too many could tell. I tell you, and so we're living in these days where they're unfruitful. Hey, look here. They wasn't doing anything for the Lord. They were doing for themselves. They didn't tilt. I tell you, to take and get anything done for the Lord. They was doing it for themselves. They didn't tilt. I tell you, they just wanted to stay stale. I tell you, on God, I pray this meeting, preacher, I tell you, will get us out of that. I pray, God, help us that we'll get so sick. I tell you, being stale. Now, I'm not saying tonight like everybody's stale. I'm telling you, if you've been saved just a while, by the grace of God, you've been in that condition. But I'll tell you, God's big enough to bring you out of it. God's big enough to put a shout upon your heart once again. If we can see it. God has been so good to us. God has blessed us so much. God has been such a big God to us.
That's right, preacher.
And yet a lot of times we sit so cold and so stale on God. He said, this is your condition. You're neither cold nor hot. He said, you look warm. He said, but if you could see, you're either cold or hot. He said, I could take and help you. But because that you're in the lukewarm state, he said, you can't see it.
But he said,
if you'll take and anoint your eyes with eyesight that you may see it. Then he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. In other words, he could have that sweet communion once again. Let me ask you this tonight. How long has it been since you took a look at your life? See where you're really at spiritually. Can you think back any time in your life where you was closer to the Lord than you are right now? There's something wrong. If you can look back in your life and see where you rejoice more and praise God more than you do now, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
God's brought us to a place where, I tell you, we can hear the preaching of the Word of God and, Lord, be able to take and reach down and help us and bless us and put us right back out there where we need to be for the glory of God.
Amen.
God, help us tonight. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice. How long has it been since you heard the voice of the Lord? How long has it been since you obeyed? I know God don't speak to us in an audible voice, but I tell you, Brother Joe, sometimes it's been so real.
Yes.
It seemed like he just spoke right out to me.
Amen.
Brother Steve, I was thinking the other day about days gone by, and I remember that time we was down there in that week of prayer. I mean, just a revival of prayer. That's all we done all week. I don't know if they still have it or not. Been down there. Been several years since I've been down there. But Brother Sexton, we went off. We went off. Brother Steve preached a little old church down there somewhere. Man, Brother Curtis White and Brother Steve went over there. We went over there with him. And we come back, Brother Joe, and I don't know what the rest of them was doing. But Brother Ranks, we got up there. Wasn't very many up there, was it? The old rock altar. And I tell you, we got up there and got to praying, and the power of God come down.
Yes,
God's a strong brother. See, I never did tell anybody this, but it kind of scared me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I never felt anything like that. Now, I felt good tonight. I got saved. But I'm talking about God, the presence of God. I tell you, the preacher tried to come up there. He said he had to turn and go back. The power of God was so strong. And we stayed up there. I don't know. What was it? All 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I know a lot of people wouldn't believe. And you tell a lot of people would not believe and understand. I tell you how the power and the presence of God was so strong up there.
Yes.
I was so strong, Brother Raines. I get so strong. I tell you, you almost smell God every what
day.
I smell like a sweet smelling Savior. And it was so strong. Tell you, you could just about feel, the wind off His presence when He passed by. And I'll tell you, so strong. I'll tell you, I got a scared and a fear. I'll tell you, that's so strong.
Amen.
You tell me God can't do that again?
He can.
You tell me that God is not big enough to take and do it again? I'm telling you, friend, God's a big God. He's a powerful God. He's a strong God. He's powerful enough to reach down to the lowest of sinners. And I'll tell you, save their soul and take and pick him off the broad road and put him on the straight and narrow road that leads to glory. Able to put him in the family of God that they'll have some hope of going to heaven one day.
Amen.
All
right.
He's God. He's God. And he said, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Let me ask you, church. Let me ask you, folks that's here tonight. Has God been trying to get you to see some things that you want? Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes we refuse to see it. Has God been trying to get you to see some things in your life that will take and help you and bless you and bring you furtherance in the work of the Lord? God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. God wasn't trying to hurt David. God's trying to help him. And he did. And he did. And anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. What is the Lord trying to get you to see tonight? God's good. He's almost home. We're almost home. You're 24 hours closer today than you was this time yesterday. You're 168 hours closer than you was this time last week. I say praise God. Let's stand. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you for the people that's come. Thank you for these people. Lord, that's gathered in here tonight, the preachers. Thank you for Brother Sexton and the church for having the meeting. Lord, we ask you now that you would just help and bless. God, we sure do need your help. And Lord, please help me, Lord, that I see things in my life that I let you help me with. Lord, thank you for this church, and we pray your blessings be upon it. Let it grow and prosper for your honor and your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your promise of your word that it not return void, but accomplish what you please. Please help us tonight, Lord. I pray these few days in meeting, Lord, to be the best that we've ever seen, the best the church has ever had. Please, God, I pray, as Brother Sexton said, manifest yourself in the services, Lord, in such a way that not one person would doubt that you didn't meet with us. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Brother Sexton.